I find it hard to believe that it is actually the 30th of September. And summer is almost over. In fact, I feel it is. It's a little chilly this morning. But I hope you all had a good holiday this year. I certainly did. Not only did I go to Kenya at the beginning of the year, but later I also went down to Cornwall. Cornwall is one of my favourite places. And the reason I love it is for two reasons. One, I go to visit a dear friend. But the second reason is this, that you don't have to go very far before you reach the sea. And I just love the sea. I also love going in boats. I was really, really excited when one of my first appointments in Kenya, I was told, you've got to go to an island. It's part of your responsibility. And oh, what joy. I left the Land Rover and I clambered into the boat with a crowd of other people. In fact, there were so many people in it, I really wondered whether we were going to safely reach our destination. And then, of course, there were the lovely holidays. You know, you just managed to get a little break and you went in a lovely dhow to a wonderful island called Wasini to eat huge crab lunches. Yes, I love the water. And I like stories about the water and about the sea and about boats. And one of my favourite ones, I suppose I would say, in the New Testament is the one where Jesus is in the boat, you know, with his disciples. And he's lying there fast asleep with his head on a pillow. And then a great storm arises. And Jesus sleeps calmly on. But the disciples, as you know, they were terrified. And eventually they ring him. They wake him. And they say, Master, do you not care that we perish? And you know, we read Jesus got up. And he rebuked the waves and the wind. And everything became calm. I'm sure you're all very familiar with that story, aren't you? And perhaps some of you even remember the little chorus we used to sing, with Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm. But the disciples did not smile. As I've said, they were terrified. And Jesus turns to them and he rebukes them also. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Well, I don't know if any of you have ever been in a boat when there's been a storm. I haven't. But there are, of course, as we all know, different storms in life that we encounter. And it comes in many ways. I wonder if you've ever heard Jesus whispering into your heart and your mind, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? I have to confess, I have heard those words many times. I won't go into long stories about Africa, because as you know, I had a few scary moments when I was overseas. But many times, I allowed fear and anxiety to begin to control the way I was working. It began to control even the way I did ministry. Until I heard those words spoken. And hopefully, I say, I came to my senses. Because I did realize that God was with me in the storm and that he had the power to bring me through. Now, in contrast, this morning, we read about two people who I believe had great faith, even though their circumstances were very difficult. First of all, of course, we have Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, a man of some standing in the community. And here he is coming to Jesus. Jesus? Yes, this traveling preacher, this man from Nazareth. And you know, no good thing came out of Nazareth. A Galilean, the son of a carpenter. This man Jesus, who had gained the animosity of all the religious leaders of his day. And Jairus comes and he prostrates himself before Jesus. He lays aside his authority, his pride, his dignity. He lays himself down at the feet of this traveling preacher. And why? Because Jairus was concerned about his daughter who was very sick. We're told she was dying. In those days, you know, girls and women weren't quite valuable as they, I hope, are today. But Jairus obviously loved his daughter dearly. And so he comes to Jesus. And he comes in faith, believing that Jesus can heal. Listen to what he says. "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." Likewise, the woman with the issue of blood. She thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." This is a woman who had suffered for 12 long years, who had been to so many physicians and yet was not healed. Well, you know what happened. Just as the daughter of Jairus was healed, so was the woman. And Jesus tells her, "Go in peace. Your faith has healed you." But of course, it raises a question for you and for me. Is it possible to have faith like that? Especially when experience tells us that God does not always calm the storm or heal the sick, even though people of faith call out to him. Some of you may know my brother Michael. He died as a young man, 26 years of old, suddenly with a hemorrhage. But when we were told that he was dying, we came, all the young people at Barnhill, we came together. We prayed all night. Well, God did not heal him in the way we wanted. He didn't bring him back to life to live with us, but he took him to a better place. It's not easy, though, is it? There must have been many people on the Titanic who trusted the Lord, but they were not saved and the boat sank and many people lost their lives. And as I mentioned in a way already, in the course of my own life, I prayed for people who were dear to me to be healed. I put my trust in God as they did. But God did not save them from their suffering. And I've realized as I talk with people that suffering often becomes a real stumbling block for many people, holding them back from putting their trust in Christ. Suffering, as I've said, comes in many ways. Sometimes it can be a sickness, a disease, a pain. At other times it can be broken relationships. There's so much suffering in the world. Sometimes it can become because of hatred and violence. It's not easy, is it, to really put your trust in a God who says he loves us? And perhaps we too sometimes struggle to understand why good people have to suffer and why bad things happen to good people. So in the light of all this, what does our reading have to say to us today? Well, of course, there's always danger when we lift a passage of Scripture out of the whole of the New Testament. While there are occasions when God heals, even today, in miraculous ways. And even though there were many storms that have been calmed, there are other stories in the Bible that tell us it is not always so. We only have to read the life of Paul, all his experiences. He was shipwrecked. He was chained in prison. He suffered from his thorn in the flesh. But he was not rescued from all his sufferings, even though he was a man of great faith. And even Jesus himself in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed, Father, let this cup pass from me. But he had to face the ordeal of the cross. And I'm sure you and I, you can mention the names of many people, even known to you, who have gone through difficult times and cried out, but have not been healed in the way that we hoped, and perhaps even they hoped too. I've often asked myself, what gave people who are really suffering the courage to hold fast to their faith and to carry on? And I suppose it is what has helped me too in the past. It is in the assurance that in each and every circumstance, God is with us. He did bring order into the chaos of people's lives, and he can bring order into the chaos of our lives. He can dispel fear and fill us with his peace. He can give us the strength and the courage that we need to face each and every circumstance. God did it in the past, and he continues to do it today. One of the things that impresses me also about this story that we have heard today is the determination of Jairus and the woman to come into the presence of Jesus. Jairus could so easily have sent a servant, but he came himself. The woman could have sent a friend to Jesus on her behalf, but she came herself, struggling through the crowd to reach him. And you know, that's really what we need. That determination to come into the presence of Jesus. In Psalm 37, a psalm I love, especially the earlier verses within it, it reminds us that we must be still. Sadly, today's world is far from being still. The natural rhythm is hyped up. Everything must be, if not done yesterday, done immediately. Snail mail has become email. Instant communications. Mobile phones with their Twitter and Facebook and all these other things which I don't fully understand. People are always on them, aren't they? Texting. Sadly, it has enabled them to have access to many people. But sadly, sometimes it has become a barrier. And they have become, if you like, or made themselves inaccessible to God. You know, today's teenagers have got it right. They tell me sometimes when they see me in a panic, chill out, Maureen. They still use that phrase. I'm surprised it's lasted a few years. And you know, we do need to chill out, don't we? Because the world is full of activity. Well, Jesus, he knew the value of stillness. Frequently, he drew aside from the crowds and went to a quiet place to pray. He knew how to chill out and focus his mind on God. And we too, we need to find that time and place to draw aside and be still. You know, in ministry, I was kept very busy, as most ministers are. I always like to think I was more busy than they are now today, but I'm sure that's not true. It's just a different kind of busyness. And you know, the danger was this. I was always busy preparing to bring the word of God to other people. Now, it is true that in the preparation, often that word spoke to me in my heart too. But I found that I began to neglect that going aside and just having me and God. Just about him and me, letting him speak to me. And it's very easy when our lives are so busy to fail to do it. I once asked a group of children in Kenya, we were talking about time. How do we use our time? And they gave me long lists of all the things they put into their lives. And then I said, now, where does God fit into that? What time do we really have for him? And I think that without spending that time, a little bit like the hymn said that we sang, trusting in the Lord, you know, without spending that time, we cannot really experience to the full the wonderful grace of God and the blessings of God that he so longs for us to receive. Where we take that special time doesn't matter. Where or when. But the important is that we do have that time to be still and experience the presence of God. Fellowshipping with Jesus. Because in the storms of life, we need these oases of calm and prayer. For it is only then that we can hear the voice of Jesus, calming our fears, dispelling our anger, our doubts, and healing our hurts. It is then we can experience afresh his life-giving spirit flowing into our lives, giving us the courage and the strength we need for the present day and for the days ahead. Yes, when we come into his presence, the storm within our hearts will be stilled, and we will experience the wonder of his peace, which only he can bring. If we believe that, then surely we need to carry it out into a world which so desperately needs to hear. Thanks be to God. Amen.